We're going to talk to our next guest about the intersection of this gender ideology messaging, big tech, and a lot of other issues. Joining us once again is Claire Morrell, policy analyst at the Ethics and Public Policy Center, where she works on EPPC's Big Tech Project. Claire, good afternoon, and welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hi, Claire.
Claire, I wanted to reference a tweet that was put out just the other day by the Ethics and Public Policy Center, so we can start off our discussion here. EPPC, I think one of your colleagues, actually, Mary Rice Hassan, says, gender ideology messaging goes out through social media. Many children today are immersed in a virtual world. They're consuming heavy doses, and it can be hard for parents to see who is influencing their children. Claire, that's absolutely going on. And many of those of us in the sane world of reality think that it's a major problem because of the type of messaging that our children are subjected to. What say you?
Yes, absolutely. No, these social media platforms, parents need to be aware, are just filled with trans influencers, videos, TikToks, posts promoting transitioning, peddling misinformation about therapy, treatments, hormone therapies, different steps they can take. And this is just filling these feeds on social media for our kids. And so this is really a real threat. Influencers are becoming the authority in children's lives rather than the parents, just by the nature of kids having access to these social media platforms.
Claire, I've asked this question many times here on the show, and I've never really gotten a definitive answer for myself when I've read other things on this. But there's this movement now to have transgender people read stories to pre-kindergarten and kindergarten children. And these transgender people are highly sexualized. There's no question who they are and what they're doing. And there seems to be it's okay. You see this happening in public schools. And I've said that if you went to a gentleman's club and grabbed a stripper and had her reading a story to a kindergarten class, the parents and the teachers and the school district would be up in arms. Why is this acceptable? And why this highly sexualalized thing that they're doing with our children at such an early age?
No, it's horrifying. And that's exactly the type of content. I mean, it's in our schools, like you just mentioned. It's also on social media. And I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head just saying it's become so sexualized. And, you know, I think that is exactly what's happening on these platforms. And parents might not even realize, they might think that these kids are just interacting with their friends, but these algorithms are actively feeding them these trending videos of these trans influencers, often inappropriately dressed, highly sexualized, really inappropriate content, and normalizing it. And that's the whole point, is these social media platforms are trying to normalize this to our kids. And it really is affecting this next generation, and parents need to be on guard. And so, you know, I think that this is just a reflection of the kind of Silicon Valley elites pushing their radical LGBT agenda and using social media platforms to do so.
Speaking to Claire Morrell of the Ethics and Public Policy Institute, she's got a great new piece up at the National Review titled Parents, Are You Prepared for the Digital Dangers Your Kids Face? Claire, many folks in and around Chris and I's generation and, you know, maybe on the 10 years before and the 10 years after, we entered the social media world, many of us largely as grown adults, question of how mature we all are or not, but at least we were grown adults, fully formed. Not so much for our children's and the generations are going to come after that. They're going to have big tech looking at them square in the face from the moment they enter this world. And big tech is after these kids, wants them to get hooked on it. Now, there's a lot of good things about technology. Of course, we all use it, especially people in our business, use it every single day. But what do parents need to be concerned about, Claire, regarding big tech, regarding kids being immersed in this new big tech world?
No, you're absolutely right about the difference between, you know, our generation getting onto these platforms versus these kids basically being inundated at young ages with the way that social media apps have been designed to be highly addictive. And their brains are very malleable during these years. And so the fact that these companies have recognized this, they're trying to addict them at this young age. And it's affecting them because they feed them these quick images, these videos, TikTok. I mean, it's terrible. And so kids become addicted to them just by the nature of the way that they're designed, and their brains, you know, become addicted to these platforms. And then they're not only addictive, but what I want parents to be aware of is that they're not, you know, just filled with neutral, happy, you know, friendly messages or content. A lot of it is very inappropriate. It's illicit content. There are sexual and drug related content being fed out on these platforms, as well as, you know, pornographic content, eating disorder content. You know, it's really not a neutral or even, you know, friendly atmosphere or environment for our children to be in. And the apps, you know, the algorithms really send kids down these rabbit holes. As soon as they look or click on one thing, immediately their feed is just inundated with whether it be trans influencers or eating disorder content. And so I really do warn parents that I don't think minors should be on social media. I don't think there's really any real need for them to have social media accounts. Sure, there are other good uses of technology, but the way the social media apps are designed in particular, I mean, I think children should be at least 16, ideally in my mind, 18 before they're on them. And the same with smartphones. I think there are many phone alternatives today if you want your kids to be able to message their friends or stay in touch with you. But to have the internet and these apps just constantly in their pockets all day, it was really detrimental to their health.
Claire, are we starting to see the industry police itself in effect? I've been watching a lot of television lately, and I'm seeing an ad by Dove Soap where there's a young girl in front of a computer screen, and they're talking about eating disorders and self-esteem and those of that nature. Where is that coming from, and have you seen that ad?
I have not personally seen that ad, but I will say that they are starting to try to quote unquote police themselves, though I'm skeptical about how well-meaning they really are, in the sense that, you know, Instagram just released these new parental controls, and they're saying, we're trying to make this all safe for kids. Look at these great parental controls. You can set time limits. But they're not really granting parents full access to their minors' accounts. They can't see what they're doing. And they're also having the control for these parental controls flow from the child to the parent rather than the other way around. So the teenager still has to grant their parent access to have these controls, when it really should be completely the other way around, that parents should be the ones who have the access and are allowing their children on if that's their choice. And so it's not really all that effective, honestly. And I think that they're doing this as kind of a ruse to try to take attention and heat off them from Congress on these issues.
Claire, we got about a minute left. Before I let you go, besides reading your article at National Review, parents, are you prepared for the digital dangers your kids face? What other resources, Claire, should parents seek out? Should they contact their congressmen and senators? I mean, what should parents be doing to get motivated on this issue?
Thank you for asking. That's a great question. And my article in NRO, National Review Online, also mentions this, that the Ethics and Public Policy Center, we just released a technology guide for parents for this exact purpose. It's a one PDF guide that consolidates all this information in one place. The harms and dangers to be aware of, how to have conversations with your kids about technology, and sample boundaries and guidelines to put in place in your home, as well as practical tools parents can utilize today to protect their kids, you know, like filtering softwares or phone alternatives. And so we really wanted this to be a kind of one-stop shop package to empower and equip parents to better protect their kids online, because right now the onus, unfortunately, is on parents rather than the tech companies. I'm hopeful Congress will pass an update to the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. I think that is really needing reform. But in the meantime, it really is on us as parents to be proactive to protect our children from the harms that are out there.
Excellent. Claire, thank you so much for all your time today. Claire Morrell, policy analyst for the Ethics, Public, and Policy Center. Thank you, Claire. We'll talk to you again soon. And we'll be back right after this at News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.